Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are unpacking Chapter 59 of Dungeons & Drams, titled Document Forgery. And honestly, S, I feel like the title completely undersells the chaos of this session.
Completely. You hear document forgery and you think legal drama, maybe some light rogue work. You do not think fighting mouth stomach golems or negotiating with a drug-addicted piece of blacksmithing equipment.
Right? But before we get to the anvil, which we absolutely have to discuss at length, let's set the scene. Sandy's gang is finally in the thick of it. They're at the Tower of Abjuration. The goal is clear. Find the 8 steps to the right of the Arcane Octade.
Which is essentially an ancient Netherese scavenger hunt. Collect 8 plot coupons, become a god, or at least enter the central spire. They split the party immediately, which is rule number 1 of what not to do, but hey, it worked out okay here.
It did. We follow Doug, Tookie, Hirax, and the gang approaching this abjuration tower, and almost immediately the theme of this dungeon becomes clear. Abjuration means protection, but in Etherine, protection means I am going to strip you of everything that makes you special.
Yeah, the anti-magic field room. This is a classic D&D panic inducer. You have Doug, a high-level caster, throwing out a fireball, and nothing, just a fizzle.
It's horrifying for a player. All your toys are gone. Even Tookie's mechanical tardigrade, Tardy, just blinks out of existence. But I loved how they handled the combat with the Demos Magian guards. When the magic fails, you go back to basics.
Basics like, I have a sword and big muscles. Hirax realizes his Holy Avenger isn't avenging anything, it's just a shark metal bar. But because he's a martial class, he shines here. And Tookie using non-magical oil for a flamethrower, chef's kiss.
Absolutely, it's that resourceful player mindset. You don't need magic to burn. That's a t-shirt quote right there. But my favorite beat in that room was the comedy of Hirax trying to use Lay on Hands.
Oh god, yes. Rubbing his hands together to generate friction and whispering catchphrases and absolutely nothing happens. It was so awkward, it perfectly cut the tension of the battle.
So they survive the anti-magic mosh pit and head upstairs. And this is where the episode goes from gritty combat to surrealist comedy. They meet the anvil.
The anvil of disjunction. Can we talk about the personality on this thing? You expect a solemn, ancient guardian construct. Instead, we got a telepathic surfer dude who is disturbingly eager to smash things.
It really framed disjunction, which is the destruction of magic items, as this intense dopamine hit for the anvil. Feed me your items of power, I beg you. It felt like an intervention was needed immediately.
It was fantastic, and the party is terrified. Hirax is clutching his sword like don't look at him. Doug is offering drink coupons. They finally appease it with a paper bird.
Which worked, and we got some lore out of it. We learned about the Faceless Ones and the Faerim. It's fascinating world building delivered by an unhinged hammer and anvil set.
Also, the tardy reveal. Tookie realizes the tardigrade isn't just gone, it was effectively imprisoned in a gem in the display case? That's dark.
It is. The anvil mentions Tardy gave off weird vibes. This ties back to the Chardlin piece animating him. There's a lingering thread there about whether this cute mascot character is actually corrupted by lower planes magic.
But they brushed past that pretty quick because the anvil wanted another hit. It sent them downstairs to smash a ring of protection, and Hirax actually did it. That hurt me, R. That's a +1 to AC just gone forever.
For no reward. They smashed the ring, the anvil got its fix, gave them a generic thanks, man, and offered 0 material gain. That is top-tier trolling by the DM.
I respect it. They did get the right clue, though. Shield thy heart with a wand from the Netheroak. Cryptic, classic wizard stuff. But the celebration didn't last long because the floor literally caved in.
Enter the Faceless One. This thing is nightmare fuel. A 20-foot-tall, smooth-headed giant with a mouth in its stomach, and it navigates by echolocation?
Yeah, Doug's immediate reaction was, it has no eyes, we can hide. And the monster effectively just taps a tuning fork and says, I can hear your heartbeat. It changes the genre back to horror. Instantly.
It's a perfect cliffhanger. They've exhausted their resources, destroyed their own loot for a stoned anvil, and now they are locked in a room with a specialized mage killer. I cannot wait to see how they handle a faceless one next week.
My money is on more fire. Mundane fire. Lots of it.